Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Monday afternoon to each and every one of you, wherever you might be out there in Stand in the Gap Today territory. It's a delight to have you there by the radio or by the computer, however you may be listening. I am Gary Dahl, and along with David Kistler and Sam Rohr, we are looking forward to another program. And Dave and Sam, I announced all last week that the two of you were away. You were doing some studies. You weren't just necessarily on vacation, and that the both of you would come back as very, very educated and more intelligent than what you've been ever in your life, and that you would have something profound to share with us today. So, Sam, welcome back. It's all yours.
Well, Gary, we appreciate that. I know, speaking for Dave, he can comment himself, but we really love that setup. And I would like to think that we came back more informed. I know that Dave will have a lot of great information to share. But I was on a trip up that, frankly, went up the Pacific Coast. I was with a group of pastors. There are about 300 and some. Most of them were pastors from across the country. Some of them were ministry leaders of different types of Christian ministries. And it was really more of a kind of an enjoyable time, intended that way, but also a networking time, a time of sharing. And I think, Gary, the walk away that I would have from that trip is that, again, across this country, God has pastors in the pulpit who are, in fact, a part of the remnant. We talk about it a lot on this program, but they're scattered abroad. They're all over the country. These were folks from probably 30 different states, I think, that I had talked with them. And but they shared one thing in common, and that was a sincere love for the Lord, a respect for the authorities of God's word, and were involved in trying to do their best to inform their people of what, in fact, was happening. Now, we got back on Friday, and so it was before the ruling from the court, which we'll talk about more here. I know you spoke a lot on Friday on the marriage issue and so forth. So we didn't really have much discussion, more of anticipation, I guess, at that point, but we didn't know until we'd gotten back. So we didn't have that kind of discussion. But overall, there was a keen sense of awareness of where we are in this time, and a great love for our country, and a great sense that an awareness that God's people and the pastors in the pulpit are, in fact, the ones to lead. So I had an opportunity to share the American Pastors Network with quite a number of them who had yet not heard. But when they did hear, the response was, oh, praise the Lord. So, so it was a little bit of that that I was engaged in, Gary, but it was good to be gone, but really good to be back. I really miss being on this program. That was one of the harder things for me in being away last week.
Well, we opened up the program every day with tears because you and Dave weren't here, but we made it, you know.
No, I'm sure you did. We really appreciate that.
But you know what? I'm glad that you're back. I mean, one of the things that concerned me is that I heard that there was an airplane crash up there with some folks who were on a cruise, and the plane crashed and everybody on it was killed. I don't know if you heard about that or not, but I texted you, and I don't know that you even got back with me, but that's okay. I'm glad that you're back. I'm glad you weren't on that plane. So,
well, I'm glad I wasn't either. But that's a reminder, just that kind of thing. I mean, no matter where we are around the world, the Lord has his hand around us, and things happen. But if it does, it's in the Lord's sovereign control. I don't know those individuals. They were not on the ship that we were on, so I have no idea who they were. I certainly hope that they were prepared for the Lord. I certainly hope that was the case.
Amen. Well, David Kistler, you know, you are the envy of all of us because you had the opportunity of being over in the Holy Land in the Middle East, and you got over there and you got back, and I'm assuming nobody shot at you. If they did, they missed, obviously. But I can imagine that you're sort of up on cloud nine today after spending a week over and walking where Jesus walked.
Well, Gary, we are. It was a tremendous trip. And I'll say this at the very outset. I've never felt safer anywhere on the planet than I felt in the land of Israel. You know, there's a lot of people that have been fearful to go over there. Tourism is very much down as far as people going to the land of Israel, to the Holy Land, because of, you know, everything we're reading in the news and we're watching on television. But, you know, all of that's primarily happening in Syria, Iraq, other places. Not that Israel could not experience some type of an attack or rockets could be launched, as they have in the recent past, into some of the areas maybe where we were. But there was nothing like that had happened. We were treated royally by both the Arab people and the Jewish people. And again, I never felt safer in my life. And, you know, gentlemen, I've been in a lot of countries around the world, and I always felt like I was not necessarily invading another country, but I just felt like I wasn't home. There was always a little bit of an uneasiness, a longing to get back to the United States. But I'll tell you this, when our plane touched down in Tel Aviv and we boarded that bus and made our way to Tiberias, which is where we started our 12 days, and then made our way down into Jerusalem. And as we came through a tunnel and up to where you could actually see the walls of Jerusalem, you could see the Temple Mount, our bus driver played on the sound system of the bus the song Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And it almost made you want to literally stand up and shout. I felt like I had come home. And I've heard people say that who have visited the land of Israel, but it's really true. I felt like I had come home, and the entire time I was there, I felt like I was at home. It's an amazing, amazing experience.
Well, if you traveled from Tel Aviv to Tiberias, you basically crisscrossed the country right up through the center, didn't you?
We did. We, you know, we went to Tiberias to the Sea of Galilee, spent three days there, then began to work our way down toward the city of Jerusalem, past the city of Jerusalem, literally all the way down to the Dead Sea, spent one night there, and then worked our way back up past Masada, and then back up into the city of Jerusalem, spent our last 3 days there. And I'll word it this way. All of it was fascinating. Tiberias was great. Dead Sea was interesting. Betsy and I hiked from the bottom to the top of Masada rather than taking the tram. That was a phenomenal experience. Learning more about the story of what happened at Masada and the zealots that held out there against the Roman army. All of that was amazing. But you go from basically elementary school to graduate school when you get into the city of Jerusalem, and you begin understanding the layout of the city, the makeup of the city, all that God has done on what is now called the Temple Mount. That's the Mount of Moriah. That was the place where Abraham was asked to offer his son Isaac, and God intervened at the last minute and said, you know, I will provide myself a lamb. It is also there that many people believe the actual Garden of Eden existed at one time. It is also the place from which where Jesus was crucified. It's where the Garden Tomb is. All of that is in that Mount Moriah mountain range. So everything God has done with the nation of Israel has been centered in and around Mount Moriah. So it was a powerful, powerful education to go there and see it firsthand and to walk in the footsteps of the Savior.
Well, I'm glad both of you are back, because while you were gone, the Supreme Court went crazy. Their restraining power was not here between you and Sam being away. So I'm glad that you're back. And we're going to talk, ladies and gentlemen, here in a few moments, some more on the Supreme Court's decision on same-sex marriage. So don't go away. On behalf of Sam Rohr and Dave Kistler, I'm Gary Dahl. We'll be back with more right after this.
This is Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, and I'm thrilled to announce that BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, has come alongside APN as a national sponsor of Stand in the Gap Today. Together, we share a commitment to further a true biblical worldview and to follow Jesus' command to be salt and light to the culture. BJU Press provides academically sound educational materials designed to fully equip children for college and the workplace. As postmodern culture seeks to eliminate God from the classroom, BJU Press integrates biblical truth into curricula that's accurate, dependable, and exceeds all national academic standards. APN welcomes BJU Press as a national partner and sponsor of Stand in the Gap Today. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. Again, we at APM welcomes BJU Press as a national partner as together we work to instill Christian values in the generations to follow.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? But the only part we're reading in 8th grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people, didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country's the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
I would rather be right than president, was the famous phrase uttered by Henry Clay, who died this day, June 29, 1852. Elected Speaker of the House 6 times, he served in Congress over 40 years with Daniel Webster and John Calhoun. Struggling to hold the Union together prior to the Civil War, Henry Clay stated, 1,800 years have rolled away since the Son of God offered himself for the salvation of our species. When we shall be translated from this into another form of existence, we shall behold the common father of whites and blacks, the great ruler of the universe.
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And of course, as every one of you know by now, on Friday, the United States Supreme Court handed down a decision on homosexual marriage that basically includes the concept that all 50 states of the Union may grant licenses for homosexuals and lesbians who desire to get married. And in addition to that, they also stated that every state in the Union, every state, must recognize the marriage license of other states, even though those individual states themselves do not grant license for homosexual and lesbian marriages. And so it was a very, very sad time in the United States of America for that to take place. We talked about it rather extensively on Friday because it just broke within an hour and a half or 2 hours before we went on the air. And, of course, we had Jeff Mateer on with us from Liberty Institute, who talked about it rather extensively, and it was good to have him on with us. But, of course, different things have developed since Friday with regard to this issue. And the sad thing of it is, from my perspective, Sam and Dave, is that many people celebrated this thing. You know, our president said something like that what happened Friday was a great day for America. And, you know, he made some other statements that really has made us all ill when we come to think of what he said. And but you know, one of the things that greatly offended me, fellows, is the idea that as I was sitting there watching the news the other night, there I saw the White House, our White House in Washington, D.C., with the rainbow colors, you know, flashed up on it. I got sick. I got angry. You know, I guess I just can't find a word. And then, of course, beyond that, there were celebrations all across the country. The Empire State Building in New York was also decked in the rainbow colors. The Niagara Falls decked in the rainbow colors. And, of course, we all know that really is the color of the homosexual agenda. And we have really taken a turn backward morally in this particular decision from the same from the United States Supreme Court. Sam, you know, I know in talking about it with you, there were certain things that happened that really caused you to have, I guess, the same reaction as I have been having on this decision of the Supreme Court. But where are we today? Why have we gotten to this point in the United States of America where right now same-sex marriage is really the law of the land? I hate to say that, because the Supreme Court does not have the right to establish law. They can only interpret law. But in what they did the other day, it's being recognized that same-sex marriage is the law of the land. Your comments, Sam.
Gary, I did recoil with the same kind of antipathy that you did as well, and I'll mention one or two of those. However, I will say, and as you were careful to say, I'll clarify this, I'll go just a little bit beyond. The Supreme Court in their ruling, whereas they made same-sex marriage legal in all of the 50 states, I want to contrast that by saying that they did not nor cannot make it lawful.
Good point. That's a good point. That's a very good point.
And that is a very, very important distinctive. Laws can be passed, legality, bad behavior can be made legally acceptable. But lawfully, when I say lawfully, I'm meaning the foundational aspects of law, be that either civil law, the Constitution, or moral law, from which arrives all law, those two, a legal action, a decision by individual finite individuals, be they five individuals on the bench, or a majority of Congress as far as that goes, have no ability to declare to be lawful what God has said to be unlawful. So I think we need to start there and recognize what the court has done. The court has overstepped their authority. They have ruled legally in an area of jurisdiction for which they have no authority constitutionally or morally. Now, a couple of the justices were clear about that. Alito and Roberts, they both said, and others, they had no jurisdictional authority to do what they did. So therefore, in effect, in some aspects of the law, what they did is null and void. And therefore, how the states choose to respond or whatever, it becomes a matter of, you know, we can discuss what some of that is happening. But Gary, so that's the first thing. But what I recoiled about was when the president was in his part of his address on Friday, talked to some of the homosexual couples that were part of this whole, bringing this whole thing forward, talked about we're now free to love whoever we want to in this country. And one of the most fundamental changes for the pot, whatever he said, that, you know, that's happened now. And then went on and then used that statement and may God bless you. Gary, wow. And Dave, I just about threw up when I heard that. Mm. And to call, and I'm reading an article here from the Lancaster, Pennsylvania online, where the dean of the Lancaster Theological Seminary, another pastor, came out in support and said, oh, we're so glad. And they said, our government, quote, is finally catching up with what we same gender loving people have known all along. Our relationships are capable of being full of grace and healing and love. And they said, since long before this country was founded, we've been creating families, building homes, and making vows to each other. Today, marriages like ours receive the full protection of the law. Thanks be unto God! Exclamation point. Gary and Dave, I'm thinking, when I look at this and see the president, or at these who profess to be pastors and seminaries, good grief, to stand up and say, praise God, the court has now done what we wanted to do. This is arrogancy of the highest degree, Gary and Dave.
Well, it's arrogancy of the highest degree, but it's also spiritual ignorance. And, of course, you know, it causes me to be greatly concerned. I mean, you know, on one hand, we have the situation where the United States Supreme Court violated its jurisdiction, and there are several things we could say about that if we wanted to. But when preachers come along, as you said there, Sam, and basically say, thank God that now same-sex marriage is allowed in this country. That is sad. That is very sinful. David, I'm wondering, you know, what do you see in this as it relates to the prophetic scriptures? When we talk about a complete reversal of biblical truth that is going to be accepted, I mean, I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul says, that, you know, there will be a form of godliness, but the power thereof will be denied. Does this fall into that category?
Gary, I think it absolutely does. And I've got a lot I'd like to say about that. Let me just say this from a constitutional perspective. Where I've struggled on a multiplicity of levels with this decision, probably chiefly I've struggled here. Gentlemen, what, a year and a half ago, the Supreme Court basically overturned DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, basically stating that is a states' rights issue. In other words, defending marriage is not within the realm of the federal government's jurisdiction. But then now, with this decision on Friday, they have said it is an area of the federal government's jurisdiction, and it is up to the federal government, not the states, to define marriage. That is the consummate hypocrisy. That is the consummate dichotomy. And so they're arguing one side at one time, another side at another time, which means simply this: they have an agenda. They have a rabid agenda that they want to advance. And so that's why they made this decision. It is well outside the jurisdiction of the Supreme Court to rule on this whatsoever, and that has all kinds of ramifications I'm sure that we'll be talking about later. But Gary, to get to your question, yes, I believe there's a prophetic component to all of this. And let me say this, and I know this is a strong statement, but I'm going to say it. When our president stands up and endorses this kind of aberrant, abhorrent, abominable behavior, and then asks God's blessing on it, is nothing less than Antichrist at the core. This president is not a believer in Jesus Christ. He is no friend of faith. He doesn't even know anything remotely close to what the Bible teaches about biblical salvation. The man is not a Christian. He is not. Otherwise, he would not endorse this. He would not do this. And then to plan ahead at the taxpayer's expense to put those colored lights, those rainbow colored lights on the White House, the same thing done on the Alamo down in San Antonio, same thing done on the Empire State Building, Gary, as you said, also Niagara Falls, and 11 other national monuments around the United States, all of that pre-planned, and most of it, if not all of it, done at taxpayer expense, is a disgrace. We ought to be so outraged and driven to our knees in earnest supplication to the God of heaven for what is going on. Gary, this is unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. And, you know, in light of what you're talking about there, Dave, it's only by the grace of God that the United States of America is still in existence today. And, you know, it's unbelievable. Where is the outrage? Where is the outrage? Where are the pastors speaking up? We'll be talking more about this when we come back, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take a break. But don't you go away. There's much more here on Stand in the Gap today for Monday afternoon.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio, I'm Paul Stevens. The U.S. Supreme Court upholds the use of a controversial drug in lethal injections.
A divided 5-4 court rejects the claims from Oklahoma death row inmates that the sedative midazolam amounts to cruel and unusual punishment after botched executions. Justice Samuel Alito, writing for the majority, concludes there's not strong evidence the drug isn't effective and says the inmates fail to offer any alternative to carry out executions. Dissents from Justices Breyer and Ginsburg suggest the death penalty in and of itself is unconstitutional.
Fox Radio's Jared Halpern at the Supreme Court. Global stock markets stumbling today. Investors worried about debt problems in Greece.
European finance ministers rejected a request for more bailout cash. They don't think Greece is trying hard enough. It needs to find $1.7 billion for a loan repayment due tomorrow.
Fox Radio Simon Owen, the Dow down over 200 points. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Winging it is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of providence which establish the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804. A nation of well-informed men who have been taught to know and prize the rights which God has given them cannot be enslaved. It is in the region of ignorance that tyranny begins. A quote from Benjamin Franklin.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom, shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap today. On behalf of Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr, I'm Gary Dull. And we're talking about the United States Supreme Court basically saying that, according to their opinion, at least five of them, because it was a 5-4 decision, according to the opinion of five of the Supreme Court justices, same-sex marriage is constitutional in the United States of America. And we were talking about how the Supreme Court basically violated its jurisdiction on this. And I just want to remind you of a couple of things, that it's not up to the United States Supreme Court to make the laws. Their responsibility is just to interpret the law. And, of course, any time they would try to legislate from the bench, that's really a violation of Article 1, Section 1 of the United States Constitution. In addition, the Supreme Court, in my opinion anyway, should not have even heard the arguments for same-sex marriage because, once again, it's a violation of Article 1, Section 8 of the United States Constitution. And in that, the Constitution gives only 18 responsibilities to the federal government. And the idea of jurisdiction over marriage is not one of those 18 responsibilities of federal government. So the Supreme Court, in my opinion, should have just completely stayed away from it. I also believe that the Supreme Court violated the 10th Amendment of the United States Constitution that places the jurisdiction of marriage in the hands of the individual states. And I say that because the 10th Amendment indicates that what is not the responsibility of the federal government to do, it is to be left up to the states or the people. So as I see it, the decision of the Supreme Court violated that amendment, and they also violated the 14th Amendment, in my opinion, because the Constitution states that the federal government cannot force anything on the American people without due process. And I certainly do not see due process in this situation that the Supreme Court has handed to us last Friday. But in light of that, Sam, I want to go back to you. There is an article that you sent to us that many people perhaps across the country are looking at today or will be looking at today. It's in the Wall Street Journal, but it's written by a Reverend Donald Sensing, who is pastor of the Trinity United Methodist Church in Franklin, Tennessee. And he says this, and then I'd like for both you and Dave to comment on it. He says, opponents of legalized same-sex marriage say they're trying to protect a beleaguered institution, but they're a little late. The walls of traditional marriage were breached 40 years ago. What we are witnessing now is the storming of the last bastion. Marriage is family. Marriage is primarily a social institution, not a religious one. That is, marriage is a universal phenomenon of human cultures in all times and places, regardless of the religion of the people concerned, and has taken the same basic form in all those cultures. Marriage existed long before Abraham, Jesus, or any other religious figure. The institute of marriage is literally prehistoric. Sam, your thoughts on that, and then Dave.
Well, Gary, you know, there's an aspect about what he's talking about that I think is worth mentioning, and that is this. I have said, and we've talked about, I know privately, and I think perhaps on this program in the past when we were talking about the anticipation of this ruling, that in many respects, this event on Friday by the court, with all of its bad ramifications and unconstitutional aspects about which we've cited earlier in this program, in fact, though, must be viewed as not the beginning chapter of a new book. It is towards the last chapter of a book that's already being written. And what I mean by that is this. This is but another more egregious action by the court that have followed a long series of other things. Remember, the courts of the past have thrown out prayer from the school. They threw out the Ten Commandments, God's Word, from the schools. They embraced abortion, murder of the unborn. And then we come along this whole path, and now we're coming to the point of marriage. The fact of the matter is, Gary, and Dave, the truth is, we have been writing this chapter for a long time. The court has been moving this direction for a long time. And let's be aware that there were justices of a different court that ruled in the matter of Roe versus Wade in 73 and prayer in the schools in the Ten Commandments. Different administration, different Congress. And yet all of these have built one upon another. So, in fact, the institution of marriage, the sacredness of marriage, the purpose of marriage was actually being undermined for a long time. And I believe that the failure of the Church of America to preaching upon the sacredness of marriage and where it came from and why it is across the range of aspects have in fact led to this, what I would say is a predictable ruling of a postmodern culture. So to that extent, this fellow, Donald Sensing, had a point that was right in it, in that it is a continuation of it's a culmination of a series of things that have happened. You know, you cannot defend marriage or have a culture that respects morality at any type, be it marriage or life or property or any of the things that are wrapped up in our Constitution, if we throw out the basis for it, and that's God, and say we don't really need God nor a fear of God. That's where it started. And Gary, I think that's been going on for a long time. So we really need a fresh dose of a fear of God.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. Dave, your comments on that, my friend.
Well, what Sam is saying that has happened culturally, that this is not the beginning chapter, this is toward the end of the book, this decision by the High Court, is not only so culturally, it's so scripturally. When you look at Romans 1, before you ever get to men with men working, as the King James Version says, that which is unseemly or shameful involved in homosexual activity, well before you get there, you start with a culture that will not give God his proper place of glory. And then there's a spirit of ingratitude, Romans 1, verses 19, 20 and following says. And then professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. In other words, when we begin thinking that we're smarter than God is, and we have wisdom that does not come from God, and man's wisdom usurps God's wisdom, those are the beginning chapters. Then you continue downward until toward the end of the book, you get to this homosexual activity. So what Sam has said has happened culturally is also exactly what is happening from a scriptural and biblical standpoint. You just don't get up one day and the Supreme Court issues a ruling that legalizes gay marriage. No, that is at the end of a long line of things that have been going on in this country for a long time. And Gary, I think in a sermon you preached yesterday, you used the phrase, the pulpits of America have been preaching cupcakes and cookie sermons rather than dealing with what God has to say in proclaiming the whole counsel of God and fearlessly declaring God's truth relative to these issues. You are 100% correct. The pulpits of America, Gary, are atrocious, tragically atrocious in their unwillingness to fearlessly proclaim, thus saith the Lord. That's where this started. And now, all these decades later, we're sitting where we're sitting right here, looking around wondering what in the world happened. What happened is the church failed. The pulpits of America failed. And if this is not a wake-up call for God's men to throw off the fear of man, to chuck what people think, and to say, God, I am determined at this point to stand up and fearlessly declare your word. If this is not a wake-up call for that, then Gary, what is going to be the wake-up call?
Well, I agree with you, David. And as a matter of fact, I quoted you yesterday also by saying that many times we have seen that the pulpits of America have been sissified, simply because the truth is not being preached by many. I've got some observations in light of what you said, Dave, and I just want to give them quickly here. Number one, I believe that what has happened is the fact that homosexual marriage is being considered is an indictment on pastors for not preaching the whole counsel of God. Number two, I think it's an indication that the Church of Jesus Christ has been silent too long on moral issues. Number three, I think that this is an indication that many Christians have not been evangelizing or speaking the truth of the Word of God effectively in the public square. Number four, I observe that homosexual marriage is being considered because or is the result of the removing of the Bible from the public square in America today. And also, I believe the fact that homosexual marriage is even being considered is the result of secular thought, that there is no absolute truth. And when we look at those five observations, ladies and gentlemen, we have got our work cut out for us. As Brother Dave said, this is a call for us to get back to truth. We better accept this call. We better stand up for truth and righteousness, or we as Christians are going to have to answer for that when we stand before Almighty God. We'll talk more about this when we come back. We're going to take a break. This is Stand in the Gap today. We will return after these messages.
As Christian financial advisors, we hold a biblical worldview and teach stewardship as a lifestyle. For over 30 years, we have taught families how to apply God's Word to our daily lives. Our three-day stewardship lifestyle seminars are held in Bible-teaching churches across America. We go far beyond basic budgeting and dig into the meat of Scripture. We believe that principle without application often lead to frustration. This is Roy Russell with the Life Financial Group in Douglasville. We are just west of Pottstown on Route 422. Visit our website or read our weekly blog at thelifegroup.org. There you'll find videos and PowerPoints for our ministry to the local church. In addition to investing and actively managing over $100 million, we prepare hundreds of tax returns for believers around the area. Come in for a second opinion and see how a biblical worldview can positively affect your investing and financial planning. Call us at 610-385-4500. That's 385-4500 or on the web at thelifegroup.org.
Securities offered through Genius Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Candidates and politicians are fond of saying that our children are our future, only to then proceed to saddle them with unimaginable debt, thanks to out-of-control spending and massive government waste. I wish I had an instant solution for that, but I don't. But here at Pennsylvania Family Institute, we take seriously our commitment to the next generation, and one way we show it is with our City on the Hill Youth Leadership and Worldview Camp, held the last full week of July each summer. It's a life-changing week that helps teens discover and guide their God-given leadership skills for their own good and for the benefit of others. This year, we've got our best lineup of speakers ever, and we still have space for a few more high school teens to come. So don't let your high schooler miss it. For details, go to pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1. That's 1-800-FAMILY-1.
When a nation embraces evil and rejects good, when evildoers are commended while Christians are maligned, it's time to understand the reason. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 1 that people once knowing the truth of God, experiencing the blessing of God, and who through science and technology uncover the mysteries of creation but then reject the truth and refuse to give God the glory, God will wipe his hands of these people and remove his mercy from them. He will give them up to general sexual perversion, then to deviant sexual attractions, including homosexuality, then to a reprobate mind, so that they not only can do all the evil they want, but also experience all the dire consequences of their sin. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network, saying that rejecting God and His truth is fatal. For me, I prefer to glorify God, thank Him for all He's done, and be blessed by Him. How about you?
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The Resource Library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, everybody. And, you know, many of us are saying, now what do we do? And you know, Dave and Sam and I have a lot that we could say about what the church is to do, what Christians are to do. I want to share with you very, very briefly here, seven components on how to confront the Supreme Court's decision. And this is just something that I think every one of us ought to consider. It's both, as it were, from a legal as well as a constitutional perspective, spiritual perspective, I suppose you could say. But first of all, I think that those of us who are Christians, those of us who are patriots, ought to renounce the decision of the Supreme Court as being illegitimate. What they did was illegitimately done both constitutionally as well as scripturally. We ought to renounce this decision as illegitimate. Secondly, I believe that we as citizens of the United States of America should say we are not going to accept this ruling. We just won't accept it at all, but rather that we will do everything that we can to pursue a constitutional amendment that marriage is between a man and a woman in the United States of America. Thirdly, I think it's important that we speak about the truth of what marriage really is. I mean, you know, God established marriage. God defined marriage. No one else can redefine marriage because marriage is God's institution and God's institution alone. And particularly as Christians, since we are ambassadors for Christ, we need to speak about the truth of marriage. Number four, it's important that we defend marriage in the public square. People are talking about it right now. And I suppose those of you who are at work at the water fountain, somebody's come up to you and says, and said, what do you think about the Supreme Court? Well, remind people that marriage is God's institution. It's defined as to be between one man and one woman only. We need to speak that forth out there in the public square. Number five, we must encourage pastors to speak out on the on marriage. We must do that. I'm saying to every pastor listening to me right now, speak out on marriage. If you did not do it yesterday, do it Wednesday night in church. Do it this coming Sunday or whenever you might have services. We need to bring the authority of the Word of God back into this picture. Number six, we need to do everything that we can to support pro-marriage groups, whoever they may be, groups like the American Family Association and others that stand for marriage from the biblical perspective. And then number seven, I suggest we need to pray. Pray hard for marriage and the family in the United States of America today. These seven things, I think, are things that we need to keep before us as we go forward in responding to the United States Supreme Court. Sam, I'll go to you and then to Dave for comments on this or anything else that you want to share. Sam?
Well, Gary, I agree with that. And, you know, in addition, you know, We must, as God's people, we must clean up our own house. So the preaching of the truth, the emphasizing of what marriage really is all about, must also accompany with it a new dedication and a new teaching, I think, to of our own people, as well as our young people. Gary, the truth of God's word must not only be taught, but taught with the idea that it must be obeyed. Obedience within this whole context to the word of God is absolutely critical. If we ever expect that God will hear our cries unto him and grant us a time of revival and renewal. There is a lot of work to be done, but thank God it starts with biblical obedience, and there is a way back to the blessings of God if we follow his route. But we've got to start there, so thank you for sharing what you shared there.
Dave?
Well, Gary, let me say this. I agree with everything you've said and certainly with what Sam has said, but I want to go one step further. I think what's happening in Texas from a constitutional standpoint is something that we need to just at least bring up at this point. It can be talked about and fleshed out later. But the Texas Attorney General has said that county clerks can refuse to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples if they object on religious grounds, and they're doing that based on the content both of the Texas Constitution as well as components of the U.S. Constitution, primarily the First Amendment. So, gentlemen, this issue is not over. This issue is not over. What the High Court has done with this decision on Friday is invite a litany of cases that are going to make their way to the High Court, and they're basically going to be First Amendment cases whereby the 14th Amendment has been pitted against the First Amendment, and that is this right to liberty that the 14th Amendment mentions being pitted against our right to hold sincerely held religious beliefs and advocate those beliefs. That's what now has been set up. So this is not over. There's going to be more of this yet to be determined, and so we need to stand biblically where the Bible stands, and we need to defend on the state level the constitutionality of state amendments and state laws that say marriage is to be defined between one man and one woman. I am praying that there will be, all across the United States, in my home state of North Carolina, that there will be people within our state that will have the same courage as Texas Governor Greg Abbott has had, and the same courage that the Attorney General in Texas has had. Make that happen all across the United States as well.
And Gary, can I, Dave, can I just jump back in again? I think, Dave, thanks for bringing that up, because really at hand, what you have here is that individually, what just Gary said is correct. We should reject out of hand with our mouth and with our understanding, certainly what they did is illegitimate, and it is. But within the context of that, yes, these various states, the governors, like the Governor Abbott down there signing the Pastor Protection Act, and Governor Jindal standing up and saying, not in our state, you're not. You're going to have to come down and force us to do it. And Judge Roy Moore, Chief Justice of Alabama, yesterday in a sermon, made clear about the fact that this is illegitimate. There is constitutionally, as well as biblically, power and a rightful response of authority versus authority, meaning the authority of the states, the authority of the positions of those within the various states to say, no, you cannot and we will not enforce a contest between the authorities. This is a right principle. Our founders understood it. And so, Dave, you are correct. These things going forward, we should pray for these individuals and pray for others in other states to stand up and in their capacity say, we will not, because of our duty to our people and our constitutional oath, and stand up and contest this illegitimate legal action by the U.S. Supreme Court.
And as the church, what do? Let's promote righteousness. Let's produce salt and light. Let's persevere in well-doing. Let's proclaim the truth of God in love. Let's project our speech with grace. Let's prepare to uphold the truth. Let's preach the word of God. Let's profoundly contend for the faith. Let's propagate the gospel. And then let's pray for boldness. And as we do those 10 things faithfully, I think we'll be able to see God work for his honor and glory. Well, on behalf of Sam Rohr and Dave Kistler, I want to thank you for joining us today. I'm Gary Dull. The Lord willing, we will be back tomorrow on Tuesday for another edition of Stand in the Gap. So between now and then, keep looking up, because we know the best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.